Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim is... Everyone knows about the Chafetz Chaim, but nobody knows about the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Palm used to say about the writings of the Chafetz Chaim. When Rav Palm passed away, he asked his Talmidim, he said, if you can do me a favor, if you want to do something for my neshama, learn the writings of the Chafetz Chaim. And he didn't just mean learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim about guarding one's speech, or Shmiras HaLashon. He meant that the Chafetz Chaim wrote a lot of Svarim to Klal Yisrael, and you could see, and we will see, sometimes we're going to see, occasionally we'll see like a mind-blowing chiddush. A mushal, like something you never thought of before, a deep insight into a pasuk or a maimer chazal. One of the hard parts about the chabura is that you're often not going to see that. You're going to see things that you know already. It's kind of like the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, where he says in the Akdama, I'm not here to tell you chidushim, I'm here to help you to be a better Jew, and to review things that you know, but you don't think about. And to the Chafetz Chaim's credit, his simplicity was part of his godless. People often say, I saw Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, who was a great Torah giant who lived in Canada. He was a Talmud in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. So we know kind of what the entrance exam to get into that yeshiva was. You have to know who knows how many hundreds of blot bal peh. A tremendous, tremendous, tremendous Torah genius. I know someone who learned with him personally. Rav Shechter Svarm, Rav Shechter from Hawaii, his Svarm in the Haskamas, in the letters of approbation at the beginning of the Sefer, he has Haskamas from Rav Hirschsprung. Just to give you a sense of who Rav Hirschsprung was. So they put out a volume called Eish Pinchas from Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung. So he says in there, he says, people make a mistake. He says, people think that Chafetz Chaim was a tzaddik, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker was a gaon, was a Torah genius. He says, the mistake is that the Chafetz Chaim was also a Torah genius. People think the Chafetz Chaim was like, was just like a super nice, awesomely refined individual. A tzaddik in that sense. But we don't appreciate sometimes the mind of the Chafetz Chaim. We appreciate the midos of the Chafetz Chaim, but not the mind of the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Chaim Brisker, the opposite. Rav Chaim Brisker, you think this was the Gaon Sheba Gaonim, the greatest Torah mind, the sharpest Lamdin, but you forget that Rav Chaim Brisker was a tzaddik. And his chesed was renowned on his tombstone. It talks about his chesed more than it talks about his lamdus. Rav Chaim Brisker would get down on the floor. Picture this. When little kids, right, would come to his home, Rav Chaim Brisker would get down on the floor and he would be the horse and children would go on his back and he would, you know, can you imagine going for a piggyback ride on Rav Chaim Brisker? It's not so posh. So people make a mistake. They think the Chafetz Chaim is a big tzaddik, but a goon. Chafetz Chaim was a tzaddik. Chafetz Chaim was a goon. Chafetz Chaim was a lot of things, and he concealed a lot of it. And sometimes when you read the writings of the Chafetz Chaim, again, it comes out very pashut. But Rav Palm said when he passed away, he said to his Talmidim, if you want to do me a favor, learn the writings of the Chafetz Chaim. Because the very words themselves, even if they're not such mind-blowing chidushim, there are other svarim that will shake us up in a different type of way, so much more than the simplistic words of the Chafetz Chaim, but the words have a way of penetrating a person's heart in a deep way. And Rav Palm said, that kol haporish mesifrei Chafetz Chaim, anyone who separates himself from the writings of the Chafetz Chaim, is kaporish min hachaim. It's like cutting yourself off from life itself. These words breathe life into a person. So the goal, Emir Tashem on Tuesday nights, at 9:05 over the course of the year, is to do selections from the lesser known Svarim, some of the more famous Svarim of the Chafetz Chaim, sections which are not so well studied. But the Chafetz Chaim wrote so many books that people haven't even heard of. Right? I imagine most of us have heard of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. I'm sure most of us have heard of the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. I'm sure most of us have heard that the Chafetz Chaim wrote a book of halacha called Mishnah Berurah. I'm sure most of us don't know the Chafetz Chaim wrote a book called Gedar Olam, and Taras Yisrael, and Beis Yisrael, and Avos Yisrael. Avos Chesed, maybe we heard of. That's a famous book of the Chafetz Chaim. But he wrote so many contrasive and manuals on so many different areas. He's writing to soldiers, and he's writing to Jews. He wrote a Sefer called Nidchei Yisrael. For Jews who feel that they've lost themselves, they're forsaken, it would have been a good section to quote from tonight. So maybe next week we'll also do some other selections on Tshuva. But I want to start from the Sefer Beis Yisrael in Perek Vav. And again, the Dvarim Pshutim. But if we the goal of this Chabura is not to say, you know, a fancy new explanation necessarily of a Maimer Chazal or a mind-blowing Gematria or something that makes you say, whoa, Torah is so deep like I've never seen before. We're going to say positive things here, but we're going to actually think about it. We're going to try to be better people from it. That's the tachlis, I think, of the holy simplicity in the writings of the Chafetz Chaim. So he writes here in Perek Vav, Medaber b'inyan Tshuva, Isa b'chazal. I wanted to start with this piece because this Chazal is a Gemara that appears in Maseches Sanhedrin, which we're learning this year. Kolu kol hakitzin, all of the dates have passed. Ve'ina davar talay el b'tshuva, all of the dates for Mashiach have passed. Now again, there's all sorts of different opinions about it. There's even an opinion of the Gemara, opinion of Rabbi Hillel, which is different than Hillel. When we think Hillel and Shammai, Rabbi Hillel said, I believe that's who it was, that Mashiach has already come. Mashiach has already come. How's that for a downer? The first time you see that Gemara, you're like, what? Mashiach has already come? We missed it? Yeah, no, it's over already. Okay, so we don't pask in that way. Baruch Hashem. And the Chassam Sofer says in a tshuva that that opinion is not considered a legitimate opinion. Not that it wasn't once upon a time considered a legitimate opinion. But we have to remove that from our thinking. We can't allow that to become. Right? Just like when Rabbi Yossi HaGlili used to eat chicken and cheese sandwiches in the Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Yud Gimel, and no one would feel like, well, you know, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili ate chicken and cheese, so I can eat chicken and cheese. That shita is no longer, you know, if you're looking for like a kula, don't try to pull that in. Right? So Rabbi Hillel's shita that Mashiach has come and gone is not how we've passed. And we're still longing for Mashiach. But the Gemara gives one opinion that all of the dates for Mashiach have passed, and there's only one thing left we can do to bring Mashiach. Tshuva. What's the connection between Geula and Tshuva? What would you say? Why are Geula, why is redemption and Tshuva so deeply connected? That itself is a massive insight into what Tshuva is. What's Geula? Geula is all the pieces falling back into place, right? What redemption means that our world right now is totally shattered and falling apart. Geula means that all the puzzle pieces start to click back into place. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is the same thing. Tshuva is a return of something to its proper place, and geula is a return of something to its proper place. D'inei yadua dahalo hayu lanu kama zmanim shayim mutadim l'geula. There were many dates throughout Jewish history that were predicted as manim of geula. And there were possibilities of Mashiach actually coming by those dates. And we blew it. We didn't take advantage of it. We could have. Why didn't Mashiach come? Ach v'pnei shalo ha'isa ba'osim hazmanim tshuva karay nisak v'gula. It's our fault. If we would have done tshuva, if we would have been more ready, Hashem was ready. There were times in Jewish history that Hashem said, this is a time where I'm excited to bring geula. If Klal Yisrael are ready. We weren't ready. V'zoi ha'siba la'arichas galuseinu hamar. And our failure to do tshuva has caused the lengthening of this very bitter exile. Ki geulasenu tuluya b'tshuva. Because redemption, the restoration of the world, is connected to the restoration of the Jewish people through the process of tshuva. Ve'emrak nashuv b'tshuva karoi. If we would just do tshuva, to think of what it means to do tshuva, but if we would just do tshuva properly, az v'vada yavo Mashiach tzidkenu v'lo ya'acher. The Mashiach would come right away and would not delay. I want to just make one other point that's brought in the Chafetz Chaim in the Hakdama to the Chafetz Chaim on Chumash in the Mavo, in the introduction. And I think it's just it's a good disclaimer as we begin to learn this far. Again, the words of the Chafetz Chaim are very simple, but it's our achrayus and it's our possibility that's being offered to each and every one of us to kind of understand it in our own way. Someone said, and it's printed there in the Mavo, in that introduction to Chafetz Chaim and Chumash, that the words of the Chafetz Chaim are like man. But the same way, when you tasted the man, you can make it taste like whatever you wanted it to taste like. The same thing is true about the words of the Chafetz Chaim. Sometimes you learn a sefer, you learn an idea, and there's like a certain mahalach that's clearly being given over. The Chafetz Chaim, because he writes in such a broad, general, again, simplistic language, it's incumbent upon the reader to taste it like the man, and to try to say, you know, what does this taste like for me? He doesn't necessarily give you very specific examples. He speaks sometimes in very broad strokes. He'll speak about Shabbos in very broad strokes. He'll speak about tefillah in very broad strokes. He's not going to say, this is specifically the problem that people should be working on. But that, like the man, gives us the ability to taste it and to figure out, okay, the Chafetz Chaim is telling us that, and he's understanding Chazal, that tshuva is the ma'akev in geula. That's true on a prat level also, on a personal level. That means things that are broken in our own personal lives, right? The lack of geula in our own life is because of a failure to do tshuva in our own life. We've allowed ourselves to become scattered, and that has ramifications. There are results because of that failure to get ourselves together, and that plays itself out over the course of our lives. So now the Chafetz Chaim, as he often does, gives a beautiful mashal. Again, it's a mashal that maybe we could think of, but it's very beautifully spelled out. Imagine a person who does business with a certain salesman, a very large wholesale type of dealer. Shedarcho limkar schora harbi v'pamachas. It's the way of this individual to sell wholesale. He sells a lot of merchandise at once. Now this lokeach, this buyer comes, and what does he say to him? Ubikesh meito sheyimkar lo kach v'kach schora ba'kafa. If you'd be so kind as to lend me, or to grant me a tremendous amount of merchandise ba'kafa on credit. Okay? As you can see, from when I was younger, I have some markings of words I didn't know when I was younger. Baruch Hashem, I know these words now. Sometimes I erase them because I'm embarrassed that I used to not know these words. And sometimes I leave them to say, wow, it's amazing that Baruch Hashem, I used to have to look up these words, now I know these words. So that's a good feeling sometimes. You look back at your Gemara from Shana Aleph and your Shana Bet, and you feel like, wow, look how much I've grown. That's a very nice feeling. So Akafa means credit. Okay, and if you didn't know, you can see the little number one that takes you to the top right corner where it says credit. Oh, it got cut off. You don't even have it. Oh, so you can't even see. You can't even see which words I do and don't. Okay, there's others. Okay, good. Good. You'll see. I got very into the writings of the Chafetz Chaim Shana Aleph. So for me, that was near Tavshin Samach. That's 15 years ago. Okay. So I hope I know a little more now than I knew then. So you come to, yeah, so the buyer comes to the big merchant and he says, I need to borrow a lot on credit. As soon as I bring the merchandise to my house, I promise I'm going to send you a check right away. The money's in the mail. He says, you don't have money to pay now? I don't have a penny to offer you now, but I promise you, the second I get home, I'll settle my debts with you. And the socher says, really? You're going to pay me right away? Just like you paid me right away last week. How many times have you promised me over the course of our business dealings that if you just this once lend me on credit, I promise I'll pay you right away? Just last week, you promised me that you're going to pay right away. And you didn't come up with the money last time. So I say, no, I lent you last time, and I lent you the time before that, and every time it's the same story, you show up, you give me this whole tale, how, yeah, the second I get home, I have the money, yeah, I just forgot it, I promise, I'll send it right away with a shliach. And the whole salesman, the wholesaler, I don't know what the right word is, right, the merchant, says to him, not a chance, I don't believe you at all, and sorry buddy, no deal. So the lokeach starts to make all sorts of excuses. The lokeach starts to say, no, but you have to understand it was different last week. I got home and then something came up and I got distracted. I mamish wanted to send you the money right away. Yeah, this got in the way and that got in the way. But this time I promise you, the second I get home, I'm going to get the money to you immediately. He starts to cry. He pulls out the wallet. He's showing pictures of his kids. You're going to deny my child. My children can't eat food. They're starving. My family's starving. We're going to die of hunger. The merchant's a nice guy. And even though he's had enough of these shenanigans week after week, I promise to pay you, I promise to pay. He has a soft spot in his heart. The socher, because he has a soft part of his heart, he says, you know what? What can I do? Fine, I'll lend you one more time. Why not? One more time. Okay, I hope you'll pay me this time. Now the socher is a very nice guy, but the socher has some workers in his factory who work hard and earn their paycheck, and they are sick and tired of this clown showing up and doing his whole spiel and crying and pulling out the pictures of his wife and children. Are you going to deny these people food? It's not right. How can you do that? Please have rachmanos on me just this once. They've had enough of it. And they say to the merchant, they say, we're not letting you. You're crippling this guy. Every time you give him money, it's the same story. His workers rise up against the balabas. And they say to him, we know how it goes with this fellow. It's the same nonsense every time. It's not the first time this happened. Last week we sent him bundles, packages and packages of merchandise. He tricked us. He hasn't paid us for our efforts. And every time he promises, yeah, the check's coming, it's in the mail, just please, if you could just extend one more time on credit. He hasn't even made any advance towards paying. Not 10%, Not 5%, not 1%. All of the promises, they're empty promises. Don't give him a penny. Or don't give him a drop of merchandise unless he's prepared to pay you up front. And they say, absolutely not. We are not letting you. It just doesn't make sense. It's never going to end if you keep... You're allowing him to get away with it. So, there's a big standoff in the factory. The Yavar Yishchacham, a wise person, walks by. The Yishma Sevikuchim Shemeno Ben Asochem Masharsim. And he hears this whole sichsuch taking place. And he says to the buyer, he says, listen, I have a plan. Why don't we do the following? Instead of doing such big business all the time, where everyone loses, you lose because you can't come up with the money to pay back. And the one who's lending you the merchandise on credit, he loses because he knows you're not going to come up with the money to pay back. Let's change the whole dynamic of this business relationship. Let's come up with a more practical plan that will actually lead to some practical results. Instead of talking big picture and setting these big goals, these big deals, let me offer you the following advice. And I have a strong feeling, says this Ish Chacham, that this will actually be beneficial for both of you. Even though normally we're dealing in wholesale, and normally he doesn't sell piecemeal a little bit at a time. He feels bad and he wants to help you. You feel embarrassed to ask, but you're asking because you're desperate. But you know you're going to default on the loan. So listen, here's a better plan. Let's do very small deals. Very small deals. You'll take a little bit, you'll sell it, you'll turn a little bit of a profit, you'll pay back a little bit, I'll give you a little bit more. What would be appropriate in accordance with your ability to pay. You scrap together a few pennies, he'll give you a drop of merchandise, and this is how it'll go. Even though, again, this is a whole salesman. He deals in large quantities usually. This is Costco. You can't walk in and buy one of anything. Right? You have to buy at least 100 of whatever you're buying. Okay, so everyone's happy. Top of the next column. So the buyer says, you know what? Maybe this is a better system. And the salesman says, you know what? I feel more comfortable with this. And the workers in the factory say, you know what? Even we could be so well. We could handle such a deal. The sofa davar hype. And little by little, this guy actually was able to become a responsible businessman. He started to borrow in a responsible way. And everyone won. Everyone won at the end. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is the mashal that a Jew who wants to do real tshuva needs to think about this time of the year. Because on the one hand, we started with the Chazal that says what? That tshuva is the ticket to geula. That's big picture Judaism. The tachlis of everything is let's get to Mashiach. How are you going to get to Mashiach? We need tshuva. Well, Mashiach's a big deal. That means we need big tshuva. Hashem knows you're not really ready for big tshuva. And we know Hashem's not really ready to give us Mashiach because we're just going to default on the loan. So let's make a different plan. Let's find a different mahalach. Maybe one that will actually produce better results, unlike much of Jewish history. Kein adavar b'inyanenu. We come to a Kadosh Baruch when we're crying. Why are we crying? Hashem, Yishlach lanu Mashiach tzidkenu. We are desperate for Mashiach. Why are we desperate for Mashiach? Ki kvar afsu hakochos ve'ein banu koach lismol es kol hatzaros v'yisurim. We are so far behind in our debts. We are so broken from gullus. We are so badly bruised from the Yetzirah, who's been dominating us for so long. That's it. We're desperate. We're starving. And we said, Hashem, if you would just bring Mashiach, then what? Then we promise we're going to fix everything that we did wrong. Now, yeah, that's sort of true, but that's not really the fairest, you know, approach to the situation. How does the Ramban describe what it's going to look like when Mashiach comes? The Ramban in the Tzavim, Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav, if I'm not mistaken, says that when Mashiach comes, it's going to become the teva of a person to always choose good. You're not going to know how to choose bad. So we say to Hashem, thanks for coming. Hashem, just give us Mashiach, and then we're going to be great. Just be Mavatal Yetzara, and we're going to be great. And Hashem says, that's a joke. That's not a fair deal. Let's go in the opposite direction. I'm ready, says Hashem, any moment to bring Mashiach. But you have to lead the way. It's not fair to say, be mevatel Yitzhara and just cancel all the debts and we'll call it even. Get rid of the Yitzhara and we'll call it even. That's not fair. Hashem's response, as it says in Tehillim, is Hayom, I'm ready today, right here, right now, in Bekol Tishmo. If you'll start listening, I'm ready to go. You have to lead the way. Ki kvar lo pam arishon, hu shivtachtem, ki rak tivashu. How many times have we had this conversation with Hashem? Hashem, if you'll just bail me out this one time. Right? I know I don't deserve it. I know I did a lot of averos. I know you're upset at me. If you'll just bring me a Yeshua this one time, then I promise as soon as I get home, as soon as you get me out of this mess, I'll do tshuva. As tachzur b'tshuva shlema. I have a famous joke of the guy who's driving around looking for a parking spot. Yeah? If Boshal, if you'll just send me a parking spot, then X, Y, and Z. What happens? All of a sudden, the guy pulls out right in front of him. Hashem, don't worry about it. I found the spot. Yeah, I don't need you to send me a spot. Hello, I send you the spot. So how many times have we promised and ripped off Hashem? So Hashem says, no. Hayom and b'kol tishma. I'm ready right now. But you have to show me something. Right? So how many times we said, Hashem, just save us this once and we'll do tshuva shlema. That's what the whole Sefer Shoftim is about. That's what like half of Nevi'im is about. If not more than half. Where the Navi comes to Klai Yisrael and says, listen, here's the deal. And Klai goes, yeah, Hashem will just get us out of this mess one time. And then all of a sudden everything's good. And we say, we forget the whole deal. It's literally all of Sefer Shoftim. There's this horrible cycle that just keeps going round and round. That the Klai Yisrael do Avodah Zarah, we get into a big mess, and Hashem says, Hashem, get us out of the mess, and Hashem says, Hashem, get out of the mess, and then go back into Avodah Zarah. And the cycle of Gilgal HaChozer, just round and round and round and round. Ukid Dechsev, like it says in Tehillim, Hashem says, everything you say is not true. So this is the Cheshbon we have to make. Again, there's not a Chiddush, we haven't seen any crazy Chiddushim in the Chafetz Chaim, but if we want to be real about it, this is what we need to think about. How many times have I made deals with Hashem, and he kept his part of the bargain, I didn't keep my part of the bargain. The Navi says, the Pasuk David Melech says and tell him, you've deceived me with your lips, or with your speech, you lied to me with your tongues, and your heart's not truly with me, and you've lost your ne'amanus. So Hashem says, you lead the way. What's the greatest proof for this? Let's say you're the type of guy who doesn't make so many deals all year round with Hashem. What's the one day we all came crying at the door? V'arayel is on Yom Kippur. At the very least on Yom Kippur. Where we all said, no, Hashem, this is it. We're going to be real. Just lend me one more time. Just give me one more year of opportunity. And I promise this year, you're going to see some real change. Such big change that Mashiach's going to come. And Hashem says, yeah, let's see. And Hashem in his generosity has rachmanas. And he lends us again on credit. Hashem, I promise I'm never going to do it again. And the very next day, or how about the very moments after second Yom Kippur is over, what's the slach lanu avinu? Many interpretations in the Maariv of Motzi Yom Kippur, why we already have to slach lanu. And part of it is because we don't believe what we said. Hashem doesn't believe what we said. This whole thing was a big sham. Right? Is this a terrible scam that we just pulled off? That we, yeah, Hashem, we mean it. And then a second later, we're the first ones to admit, we don't really mean it. And we know that by tomorrow, we're already going to be back with the same old Yitzharas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis, and he keeps lending us. So says the Chafetz Chaim, Tachlis, what can we do to get a better deal? V'chein ha-davar tamid b'chol shana v'shana. U'kvar yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu machshavoseinu v'dibureinu. Hashem knows the whole speech, and then you're going to scream out, try Yisrael. Hashem will kim, Hashem will kim. And Hashem's like rolling his eyes, kim yachol, yeah, Hashem will kim. Same thing as last year. And it's nice, it's sweet, and everyone's into it. Right? And from your perspective, you're like, yeah, this is it. I finally am going to have a breakthrough. Right? Until you're 2 bites into your bagel, you know, and like a juicy bit of Lashon Hara that like somehow got swept under the carpet. All Yom Kippur comes up at the table, you know, right? And someone says, like, did you hear how poorly he blew that tequila gadola at the end of Yom Kippur? And that's it. And the whole world you just spent 26 hours building comes crumbling in 2 seconds. But Hashem in his generosity, Hashem sees, okay, this person's crying, he needs help, so he wants to help. So going back to the mashal, So who comes and says, no, 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 don't be so quick to lend this person? Who are the workers in the factory who say, it's enough already? We're sitting in this dark gauze and we're crying. Right, from Hashem's perspective, Hashem is the makor of chesed. Hashem is tov. Hashem says, all right, I'll give it one more time. But the workers, midas hadin, the satan, the yitzhar, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same thing, comes in his bekatrik and says, no way, no way, Rabbeinu Shalom, you're not an idiot. How many times are you going to fall for this? She'ilis mochal after choseinu. These Jews don't mean it. Don't you remember? He pulls out the tape from last year, and the year before, and the year before. V'chimei olam lo kiyamnu kol ma shivkachta. Turn the page. V'shekibalnu aleinu. V'im kein chas v'shalom ein lanu shum eitz v'tachbula. So we have this, we're deadlocked with this machlokas. Hashem wants to give, and we're crying. And Midas HaDin saying, no way. Nu, so back to the mashal. The Chacham comes along, and what does the Chacham say? The Chacham says, I'm going to create a payment plan that's going to work for everyone. What's the payment plan? Yes, of course, we're focused on the big picture. But there's small steps that can be taken to get to the big picture. And what is that? Says the Chafetz Chaim. It's impossible to try to do tshuva for everything in one shot. And if you think that a couple of screamings of Hashem Hu Elokim is going to change everything, you're fooling yourself. But a Jew, and again, let's talk tachlis for a second. Let's walk out of tonight's chabur, not saying that was a nice little mimer from the Chafetz Chaim. But let's think tachlis, something very small that we can work on. Each of us, again, like the mun, each of us has to taste the words of the Chafetz Chaim in our own way. And to think, what can I do? What's a small, meaningful step that I can take? You want something great to work on? I'll give you something great to work on. Go online if you don't know them off the top of your head. And Google Rav Avigdor Miller's 10 Steps to Greatness. You've seen this list, Rav Avigdor Miller's, right? It was a famous shiur. I think it's shiur number 707, I think, in Rav Avigdor Miller's tape series. Rav Avigdor Miller has 10 Steps to Greatness, and they are so chashuv, every one of them. Put on your shirt in the morning, yeah? And as you're buttoning your shirt, think about, right? We say a bracha every day, malbisha rumim. Think about buttons. Think about the bracha of having a button. Think about a time before there were buttons, or before there were zippers. Think about it. So how would you hold your cloak together? You know what you used to do? You read the Mishnayos and Shabbos, you see. You'd take a rock, yeah? And you'd take like a rope and you'd fasten it to the rock, right? Until you're in the middle of having a lively conversation with your friend, right? You're sitting in the base medrash, you get into heated machlokas, you know, ketzos and nesivos, and you start flailing your arms and the rock pops out and your shirt pops open, and right? And you're standing there exposed in the base medrash. Malbisha rumim. Right. Shoes. Think about the bracha of having shoes. Yeah, the bracha of having shoes. He says such amazing things. He says, take, it's so practical and it's so simple, and we're so cynical about it that we don't do it. But Victor Miller says, say once a day, 10 steps to greatness. He said, if you do these 10 things, and he has a whole system. He says, at first, you should do this, I think he says, for 30 days, and then take off for 6 months. Don't do it for 6 months. And then do it again for 30 days and then take off 5 months. And then do 30 days and take off 4 months. And he says, eventually you'll train yourself to be a really thoughtful Jew. He says, say once a day, privately, say, Hashem, I love you. Say once a day, Hashem, I love you. Can we do that? Can we do that for Elul? That's not so crazy. Right? He says, sit on the floor. I don't even think he says a minute. I think he says maybe for 10 seconds. And think about Chorban Beis HaMikdash. I did that a couple of years ago. I was doing this in the months leading up to Tammuz and Av, and I had a totally different Tisha B'Av. By spending 10 seconds a day, at the end of the day, sit in your room, shut the lights, sit on the floor for 10 seconds, not on Tisha B'Av, at some other point during the year, 10 seconds a day, and think about there's no Beis HaMikdash. And then get up and then go back to whatever. Go back to watching some stupid YouTube video, whatever it was you were doing 2 seconds before. But it'll change your life forever. Think about these little things. There's so many little things. Think about, I don't think this is on the list, but think about the Medrash. I think I mentioned it this morning in Shir. I mentioned it somewhere recently. Think about the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. On the pasuk, Kol HaNeshama Ta'alka HaLuka. Akol Neshima U'Neshima HaLuka. Take one breath a day with Kavana. Once a day, go, thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom. That's huge. that could change your life in such a significant way. Go online and look at the list. So says the Chafetz Chaim, yeah, the big picture is Mashiach. But if you want to get there, it's tshuva b'hadraga. It's tshuva with step by step by step. Haynu l'taki mitchila ma'atis koach ha'dibur. Sheish b'yadu v'reshuso. First work on the koach ha'dibur. And from there work on machshava. And from there work on ma'isa. And then slowly, slowly become a person who serves Hashem with machshava, with dibur, and with ma'isa. Since we don't have so much more time, jump to page Lamed Aleph. Look at the top of the. You don't have to turn the page. Look at the next column. He says three lines in. He says that's what the Torah tells us. V'zeh ramzal and retor mashakosva ki karav alecha davar ma'od beficha uvavavcha lasoso. That's the pasuk by Tshuva. It's beficha. Do something with your peh. Do something with your peh. Right. Say a nice thing a day to someone. Go out of your way to say something nice to someone. Right? Maybe you're a really nice guy and you say a lot of nice things, but go out of your way to say something extra nice to someone. Right? Bil vavcha, with your heart, your machshava. Think something different that you haven't thought. Think once a day, Hashem, I love you. Right? It seems goofy, it seems silly, but it will change your life. La soso. Do something. Do a maisa. Do something a little different. One of the things on the list, the 10 steps to greatness of Rabbi Victor Miller. Look at another Jew. This is a geschmack one. This is a really geschmack one. Look at another Jew, right? And think about the fact that he's created B'tzad Elokim. That's awesome. That's like an awesome thing to do. Sit in the base medrash and just like look around and say, that guy's created B'tzad Elokim. This person's an expression. That in 30 seconds, you'll be exploding with Avos Yisrael. Literally. This Jew is B'tzad Elokim. And they're so different looking, right? Such different looking Jews. And each one, Hashem, this is an expression, this is a shtick of Elokus in this person. That's like a mind-blowing thing to experience. Beficha, uvavcha, lasoso, machshava, dibur, maisa. Do something. And then little by little, a person will actually be able to metakin, will be able to bring Mashiach in this way. This is Perek Vav of the Sefer, the little-known work of the Chafetz Chaim and the Beis Yisrael. Okay, let's turn for a minute. Let's do one more little piece. Let's turn the page to the 10th chapter of the Beis Yisrael, which is also about Tshuva. And this is a famous maimer of the Chafetz Chaim, entitled Malach HaMirda. If you have some of the writings of the Chafetz Chaim's Talmud, the Rochanan Wasserman, in his writings on Agada, this maimer is also printed there, in the first volume, in the Kovetz Ma'amar. And it's entitled Malach HaMirda. Isoris LaTshuva. Okay, let's just read a little bit. And then, what time is it? Who's got the time? 9:38. Okay, we'll do a few more minutes. Do a few more minutes together. Anyone who has to stop, feel free to stop. What time is Maariv? 10:15 in here? Or 10? 10:15 now, right? Okay, we'll stop by 10 for sure. Let's just do a couple more minutes. Let's see if we can do this piece. Hine matzino etzel Yonah HaNavi. Okay, I lied. Maybe we're going to do two more pieces. But anyone who needs to leave, I do that a lot. So it's El, we have to speak words of truth. But anyone who needs to leave at any point. But by 10, we'll be done by 10. That's my commitment to the tzibur. Hine matzino etzel Yonah HaNavi. Right, what's Yonah's problem? Yonah's problem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go to the city of Nineveh, go tell them to do tshuva. When do we read Yonah? We read it on Yom Kippur. That already tells you a lot, that this is a safe we need to really think about. And Yonah refuses to go. Why doesn't Yonah go? Lo chafetz Yonah aleches, in the third line, mishum sheyada sha'akum krovim letshuva. Because Yonah knows that these non-Jews are going to be quick to receive his message. Why? Because they're not the Am Kishay Oref. Jews are cynical. Jews are sometimes stubborn. And Yonah's going to go and say, God means business, and the people are going to do tshuva. Why does Yonah not want these non-Jews to do tshuva? In mochich ma'aseim ha'ra'im, miyad shavu b'tshuva, v'yetze azeh kitchur gal klal Yisrael. And how's that going to look for the Jewish people? Where Hashem says, Nevi'im after Nevi'im after Nevi'im. Right? Navi after Navi come to klal Yisrael and say, do tshuva. And the Jews are not so quick to do tshuva. So Yonah's embarrassed. He says, I'm going to get the Jews in trouble. I'm going to go show that Goyim are quicker to do tshuva than Jews. That's a terrible thing. So what does Yonah do? Well, he's got to figure it out. If he goes to Nineveh and doesn't give the message, that's also going to be a big problem. Who's that going to be a problem for? For Yonah, Michayev Misa. A Navi who's Kovesh Nevuasa, says the Chafetz Chaim in the bottom line, right? If he does go to Nineveh and he's Kovesh Nevuasa, Chayev Misa Bidei Shemayim. So what's he going to do? To go to Nineveh and to tell them to do tshuva is going to be bad for Klal Yisrael. To go to Nineveh and to keep his mouth shut is going to be really bad for Yonah. So Ma'asa, he thinks, maybe I can beat the system. Maybe I can just avoid this whole thing. How do you beat the system? Matzah Svina Shemafleges L'chutz La'aretz. He found the boat traveling to Chutz La'aretz. Right? We know that Nevuah cannot be received in Chutz La'aretz. There's a Rashi in Maseches Mor Katan, I think Daf Chaf Hey, that you can't initially get a message from Hashem in Chutz La'aretz. So he figures, you know what? I'm going to just avoid this entire message. I won't get the message to transmit, and I won't be chayav for not transmitting the message. Makom She'ina Shechina Shorasha. I'll go outside the Shechina's jurisdiction, Kivyachu. V'lo Si'elo Nevuah Mishamayim. Amar Eilich L'chutz La'aretz V'Raviach Shtayim. It's a win-win. I'm not going to be Mekatrik on Klal Yisrael, and I'm not going to be Chayev Misa V'Nei Shamayim. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Why do we read Yonah on Yom Kippur? Right? Part of the reason, one of the reasons that's brought for reading Yonah on Yom Kippur is a very simple svar, but it's a very, very powerful idea. Right? The notion of Yonah trying to run away from Kadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the message of Yom Kippur. You can't run away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's really nowhere to hide. And you can push off the encounter as long as you want. You can kind of try to sleep through El. Svasemis uses a lashon in Likutim by El. Svasemis says, "Eino mina yosher." It's not yosher to sleep away El. An interesting lashon. It's not yosher. Right? We talked about yosher today in Maral. Those of us who are in Shir in the morning together. But it's not yosher to sleep away. To sleep away Chodeshel. It's not yosher. What do you mean not yosher? Not just. It's not proper. What does it mean? It's not proper. And what do we mean to sleep well? Why would a person sleep well? A person would sleep well because we're very uncomfortable with the encounter that we have to have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in El. It makes us very uncomfortable. So sleeping doesn't mean lav dafka means you're staying in bed all of El. It just means there's like a certain sleepiness that I just don't want to go head on and have that conversation, which is what vidui, the Rambam's definition of tshuva is really vidui, talking it out, having a heart-to-heart chat with the creator of the world. We're not so interested in that. A person who's Yoshev Batal, the Gemara says, right, is like a person who's sleeping. So we sleep well by being Batal. We're not ready to go there yet. So Yonah's doing everything he can to avoid the situation. So much so that when Hashem is shaking his boat up and down, and the boat is about to break, right? Where is Yonah? Where is he at that time? The world is shaking, like all the Sfarim say, like Sol Salat and everyone used to say, like the fish in the sea are trembling in Chodesh Elul, and people are fainting in Shul when they're Shabbos, you know, Mavarchim Chodesh Elul, right? Like the good old days, like all the Sfarim talk about, they make us feel bad, they're like, what? People really? Is it really true that like every person in Shul just fainted? Right? And the most simple Jew fainted at the sound of Elul. And we're like, you know, we're not there yet. We're not shaking. Here the boat is shaking, the world is shaking. And where is Yonah? Where is Yonah? He's sleeping at the bottom of the boat. And who comes to him? This non-Jewish captain of the ship. Vayikrav Rav HaChovel Yonah Navi. Shayamurach B'yarkasei HaSvina V'yeradam. Vayikrav Elav. And he says to him three very powerful words. And if there's any three words in Yonah that should hit us like a ton of bricks on Yom Kippur, it's these three words. Malachon Yerdam. How could you sleep at a time like this? Don't you realize the opportunity that's taking place all around you? How could you sleep away the opportunity? I understand it's uncomfortable to have the encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But how could you sleep at a time like this? Don't you realize your life's on the line? Well, what are you doing at the bottom of the boat? The boat is shaking. And you're snoring away. The Lashon of the Rambam in Ilchos Tshuva. Havel Pishu Tkiyah Shofar. Is Gzeiras HaKasuv. Even though we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah because Hashem says so, but there's a remez shabo. What's the remez shabo? Uru Yishenim Yishenaschem. It's the ultimate wake up call, right? It's supposed to shake us up and to wake us up. So says the captain of the ship, Yonah, what's wrong with you? Life and death are on the line here. Kum kroa elokecha. How can you not be davening at a time like this? Ulay is ashes Elohim. Lanu v'lo nove. Maybe you could do something to stop this. Lo isat lanuach betach v'lichon. Right? It's not a time for a person to sleep it away and just rely on Hashem's mercy what kind of wake me sukkah's time? Right? You want to like wake up in the sukkah? Yeah? And like the Yom Tovim are over? How many of us would like that? Not have to confront any of this stuff and to really make a cheshbon and a nefesh of the past year. Says the Rav HaChovel, says the captain of the ship, Aleinu l'chapes eitzos v'tachbulos eichli natzol me'amaves. We need to come up with strategies. And we tried to do everything, we threw over everything overboard. What's the last thing you can do? Get out of bed and start davening on it. And maybe your God will respond. Says the Chafetz Chaim. And what he's writing here probably, who knows, 1920s, 1910s, Chafetz Chaim passed away in 1933. The Chafetz Chaim says, how could, the world is shaking. And if we don't think our world is shaking, then we're sleepwalking. What's going on in the world today is a pachad. The world is shaking in every sense. Whether it's you know, crazy militant Islam, or it's Iran, or it's just a perversion of, you know, like all, everything that's described in that Mishnah at the end of Sota, of the Ikus of the Mashiach, it's all happening. Everything's happening. And I'm following. Oh, we have our economists here. Right? So you've been following what's happening, the markets in China, right? Everything's collapsing, and the markets are being affected here. And all these things, these are straight out of the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sota. All signs of the Ikus of the Mashiach. Right? Everything that happened in Greece, all the crazy financial stuff that's happening, that's all straight out of the Mishnah. All the perversion of basics, of ethics, of morality, of sexuality, all that's straight out of the Mishnah. Perversion in government, right? Corruption, Hillary Clinton's email scandal, that's all straight out of the Mishnah and Sota. All those things are straight out of the Mishnah and Sota. Yeah? So says the Chafetz Chaim, and we're sleepwalking. Ki'ilu, we're at the bottom of the ship. The ship is shaking. And the only thing that they've come up with every other Eitzah, now it's time to scream out to Hashem and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, please, maybe, a little Rachmanis. And you're like, nah, it's fine, you know, Gamzei Yavor, this will also pass. And it's true, it will also pass. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Hine Achai V'Rei'ai, my dear brothers and friends. If your eyes are slightly open and your mind is slightly attuned to what's happening in the world, Midas Hadin is on the loose. There's not a single day that goes by where you don't hear frightful things. Part of the reason we live in a time, as we come to the end of days, where technology allows us to hear. See, in the olden days, if something bad happened in your little shtetl, so you heard about it. If something happened, you know, 3 miles over, you never heard about it. You never heard about it. If you would hear about it at all, it would take a tremendous amount of time. Now, right, any tragedy that takes place anywhere in the world, you get it that second. Which means that you're getting a lot of messages throughout the day of really bad things going on. Most of the news is bad, negative, depressing stuff. But the reason you have access to so many messages is because Hashem is really trying to shake the boat to wake up Yonah. Hey, Yonah, you read the Gruz Perish on Sefer Yonah. Al Derech HaRemez. Right? The Gruz, allegorical interpretation of Sefer Yonah, where Yonah is the Neshama, and the Neshama is sent on a mission to this world, and the Neshama is running away from its Tachlis. The Gruz is a whole beautiful... He believes that Yonah was a person. Yonah ben Amittai was a Navi, was a real human being. But the Gra explains Al Derech HaRemez VaHadrush, a whole beautiful explanation. Yonah is the Neshama, and the Neshama is fleeing, right? And the Neshama, right, gets swallowed by the fish and has to be spit out again, and that's Gilgal. And the Gra has a whole beautiful Arichus trying to explain Sefer Yonah in a very deep way. But what's it going to take to wake up Yonah? What's it going to take to wake our Neshamas up? Not a single day goes by, says the Chafetz Chaim, where you don't hear terrible things. Harash, HaGadol, he's writing about the things in his time. The terrible earthquake that took place in Eretz Yisrael in his time. Shezeh ha-rash hu asra me'akadosh baruch hu. Shenashuv midarcheinu haram. It's a wake-up call. Hashetaf hanora ashayu b'dinosenu. The Chafetz Chaim says the terrible flooding that has affected our areas of Europe where we're living. Harash ha-gadol shayu b'Rusya. The reports about the terrible earthquake that took place in Russia. Shenifzu v'nergu l'meos ha-nashem nashem etap behem ha-rabba. V'kama'at she'ein medina ba'olam shi'atzen ha-kiyam midas ha-din be'isach rona. There's no place in the world, right, that's not having something going on. America's got its issues, Eretz Yisrael's got its issues, and parts of Europe have its issues, and parts of Southern America, everywhere has its issues. I don't know, maybe in Antarctica, everyone's just... They have global warming issues, I don't know what they have there. Every place in the world has issues. Big things are happening in the world. And if your eyes are open, says the Chafetz Chaim, you can't miss this. Upela gadoli. It's a wonder to me. Amasha ain't old mafachid klal. And people, they're pasha just going about their business. Everyone's just worried about, you know, what to order for lunch today. All the horrible, scary things that are found in that tefillah that we recite in the Yom Dorom, this kaim kamad beisachon, they're all happening in the world. Everything's happening. Now again, we shouldn't walk around depressed all day. That's all the Chafetz Chaim is saying. But to be a little bit mindful that stuff's, we're living in big times. And he was writing this again 100 plus years ago. So why aren't we responding to this? Everyone's so busy, you know, and we should be busy calling our congressmen and women and senators about, you know, stop this deal on Iran, right? But I've heard of more than a few people say, correctly so, you know, we haven't had necessarily enough tefillah gatherings to shake the heavens, to say, you know, Hashem, we're very nervous about this, and this is very threatening and very scary for Achinu B'nai Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael and beyond, right? So why are we sleepwalking? A person who is a Baal Seichel, one who understands, why is Hashem doing this? Hashem only wants to do good. The buzzing in the chesed, he doesn't want to harm us. Where it's underlined, Hashem is sending us a wake up call. Things don't happen for no reason. I remember I once read a story that the wife of Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, one time she was holding a coffee mug, and all of a sudden the coffee mug slipped out of her hand and shattered on the floor, spilling coffee everywhere. And Rav Isser Zalman took his wife and they sat down and he said, "We need to talk." And she said, "I'm sorry, I broke the coffee mug." He said, no, "We need to talk." "I'll get another coffee mug." He says, "Let's make a cheshbon and nefesh. What happened today?" "I don't know, it was a pretty regular day." He says, no, something happened today. There's a reason you dropped the coffee mug." She says, "I dropped the coffee mug because I was clumsy and it slipped out of my hand. So I dropped it, accidents happen." He said, "There's a reason you dropped the coffee mug. Let's make a cheshbon and nefesh." And they sat down and they started cheshboning. And he says, "Did anyone come collecting tzedakah today?" She says, "Yeah, actually there was a guy who came this morning." And he says, "What did you do for him?" She said, I didn't have anything in the house to give him." He says, "That's why the coffee mug broke." He says, "Someone came and they needed something and you didn't give to them. So Hashem took away from us." And he says to his wife, he says, "My dear Rebbetzin, I want you to know, a coffee mug doesn't shatter for no reason. If something as simple as you know, you spilled your cereal at breakfast is a wake-up call on some small level, it's a tiny tekiyas shofar, so all the more so. When there's things happening in the world that are oyum v'nora, a person who's a maven has to say, what's going on in the world? Why is this happening?" Says the Chafetz Chaim where it's underlined, "Ubar li, shim hayu lanu neviyam Hashem." If we lived in a time where we still have neviyam, "Bevadai omdu ala mishra lezariz Yisrael lechuvah lavinu shua shemayim," the neviyam would be making the rounds, says the Chafetz Chaim. The Nevi'im would not simply say, "Yeah, the flooding is caused by this natural, you know, occurrence in the world, and global warming is causing X, Y, or Z. And yeah, and this and that, we can come up with all sorts of, and the shifting of the plates in the ground caused the earthquake." The Nevi'im would not be talking on those terms. The Nevi'im would be coming around and saying, "That earthquake was caused by Jews not being the proper Jews. And that flood was caused by Jews not being proper Jews. And the markets collapsed, and your coffee spilled because Jews are not being proper Jews." But because we don't have the neviim to make the rounds bizman hazeh, Hashem sends the message in other ways. I always say over the Vart that after 9/11, I remember I was in YU at the time, Rav Avram Shor gave a drush after 9/11. It's printed in the Lekach Valib of Toshin Samach Aleph, for those who have that rare volume. And he writes that he says a var from the Yira Kaddish that he likes to say often. The Yira Kaddish explained, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk says, "Mishamayim hishmata din," from the heavens you heard a judgment. Rav Shor was saying this in the context of the planes that came, you know, out of the heavens and killed thousands of people. "Mishamayim hishmata din," you heard a wake up call from the heavens. "Eretz yara v'sham," that's the pasuk in Tehillim. From the heavens you heard a judgment. The earth trembled and was calm. Now the truth is, in a very sick kind of way, after the towers collapsed, right? After all of the pandemonium, there was this very deathly, crazy, you know, quiet that hung over that whole area, right? Which was a pachad in and of itself. But the pashtus in that pasuk is a very funny pasuk. There was a din, eretz yara, there was fear, and there was shekel. So the Gemara in Shabbos already says, Im yara lama shakta, shakta lama yara. Yira and sheket don't usually go together. When there's trepidation, there's not usually calm. And when there's calm, there's not usually trepidation. There's not usually fear. So the Yira Kaddish said a beautiful part. The Yira Kaddish from Peshitta said, and Rav Shor said this after 9/11, that when a Kaddish Baruch Hu sends such a pacha, such a wake-up call, such a slap in the face,
Im yara, then shakta. Im yara, if you'll respond to it, if there'll be yira, and you'll absorb the message, then there can be a sheket, there can be a calm. Hashem can say, ah, Baruch Hashem, they finally got the message. I spilled your coffee, they didn't get the message. Okay. So then Hashem said, so I caused you to drop your laptop and it broke. And I thought that was going to be a good message. You were really going to get that. No, you still didn't get it. Right? You said, ah, it's fine, I have extra money, I'll go buy a new laptop. Right? So then Hashem says, okay, so then I got you into that car accident. Baruch Hashem, you were fine, but there was a lot of damage. You still didn't get the message. So if Yara, if you have Yira, if you absorb the message, then there can be a sheket. Then Hashem says, good, I don't want to slap you. I'm the Makor HaTov, I only want to do good. So first I give you a little punch, and hopefully you get that. And then we're done. But if you don't get that, then I have to hate you. Until you get it, until you have proper Yira, until you absorb the message, there can't be a sheket. And therefore, if Hashem keeps hitting the world harder and harder, Hashem's saying, come on, wake up already, wake up. You know, a person faints on the floor, right? So first maybe, you know, you whisper in the ear, like, are you okay? And the guy's like, out cold. See, special little water in his face, right? And he's still out cold. So he starts slapping him, right? And then maybe if it's really bad, you rush into the hospital and you do that electric shock thing to whatever it's going to take to get this guy back on his feet, right? Little by little. And if he doesn't get the message, you hit him harder. You do what it takes to shake him from his slumber. So Hashem does the same thing with us. If we get the message right away, if we're mekabel shliach and we get the message, says the Chafetz Chaim, osa malach of ruchos. If we don't have neviim, so Hashem sends winds. Hashem sends all sorts of storms. Mesharis of eish loy. Hashem sends fires. Hashem sends all sorts of natural quote unquote destruction. And if we get the message, right, then Hashem says then we can have Mashiach. But if you're going to be too stubborn to get the message, Rachmana Litzlan, if we don't wake ourselves up, Befrat, for the Shalol, then unfortunately, I'll tiftach peh, right? But we have to be careful, Rachmana Litzlan, we could be asking for a lot of trouble. Okay, go to the last page. A tiny little piece, the last part of Shkarech of Jojo. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a kuntras called Avas Yisrael. Again, one of these other little kuntrasim. Okay, and on page Samach Vav, he has just one other point, which I think is the Yisod Gadol in Tshuva. And we got 3 minutes to do. Amru Chazal, Eize uchacham amakris makomo hainu madrigas. Who is the chacham? A person who knows his place. One of the greatest impediments to Tshuva is not being self-aware. Yeah, for the sake of time, I'll say most of what he wants to say here outside. If you want to do Tshuva, you have to know what you're holding. Everyone knows the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. Who is Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya? How did he get his smicha? He got smicha from Shemayim, Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Elazar ben Derdaya, right? I don't want to talk about what he was because we don't, you know, you don't remind about Tshuva what he once was. But Elazar ben Derdaya was a person who spent his life trying to sleep with as many women as possible. That's what Gemara says. And eventually he paid a lot of money to go to a certain Isha Zona who he had never been with before, and she gave him Musar. She said, you're a sick dude. Right. And this was a woman who herself was a prostitute. She says, you are a sick person. This is your life's mission to be into with as many women as possible. She gave him Musar, and he really took it to heart. And he decided to do tshuva. And he was so overwhelmed by his chata that he didn't know where to start. So he turns to Shemayim and he says, Bikshu alai rachman. Right, heavens. Stars, constellations, can you help me out? They say, sorry, we got our own issues. So he turns to the trees. Can you help me out? Can't help you out. He turns to the fields. He's turning to all of creation, saying, can someone, you know, throw me a bone here? Can someone help me out a little bit here? And all of them say to him, we have our own issues to work out. Until what? He says, Eina davar toli ala bi. I realize that I'm the only one who can help myself. And he tucks his head between his knees, which the Maharal says, he went into a fetal position, so to speak, a rebirth of himself, and he cried himself to death. And all this Sfarim explain, what was this? We turn to Shemayim, Varitz, Bikshu alai Rachamim. Right? So the Sfarim explain, it's found in the Iyun Yaakov, in the commentary on the Ein Yaakov, the Sifsei. Chaim talks about it in one of the volumes. Others have this idea as well. What he was basically saying was, a Lazar ben Derdaya can't really be that bad. You know how I ended up being a Lazar ben Derdaya? It's got to be someone else's fault. Maybe it was the surroundings, right? Maybe it was the environment in which I was born. Maybe it was my family. If I would have had different parents, I would have had a different Rebbe in third grade, right? If I would, if my, you know, if that girl wouldn't have dumped me, if I would have got the job, I come with a million and one reasons, excuses why I'm not the Jew I'm supposed to be. And at the end of the day, all of the Bria said to Elazar ben Derdaya, no, it's not our fault. It's your fault. You have to look inside yourself. And if you want to do real tshuva, makir es makomo.
Know your place, know who you are, know what you need to change, and that's the only way you're actually going to change. If you realize that in a davar tali ela bi, that real change comes from within, not from without. What's a lomer? The misha ain't a chacham. A person who's not a chacham, yuchal a yetzer l'armos of a lomer shu nichbar b'kayim es haTorah. He can say, "I'm a kayim, call it Torah, kula, yeah, I'm doing great," and he's not self-aware. He doesn't realize that there are a lot of things in his life that he could be doing a lot better. Maybe he's sizing himself up compared to someone else. Kosher Ter Magid says on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Mishnah says, "Ezu gibra kovesh es yetzer." It's very easy, says the Kosher Ter Magid in the Avodas Yisrael, it's easy for me to conquer your Yitzhar. And it's easy for you to conquer my Yitzhar. Right? If you want to be a Gibor, Kovesh is Yitzhar. How about taking on your own Yitzhar? How about not making excuses and blaming your environment for everything that went wrong? How about taking some achrayas for your life? This is a Yisod Gadol and Tshuva. Says the Chafetz Chaim at the end. Very often in life, a person says, "Hashem, you owe me for so much that I've done." When in reality, it's just the opposite. Says the Chavetz Chaim, where it's underlined. The Sivas Adavar Hu. She'in Alda Makiris Makombo. And so often we're not Makiris Atzma. V'nid Melosha Alpi Maisav Hayroi Litin Yol Yosef Yosef Yol Mazah. We wake up and we say, "Hashem, you owe me so much. Look what I did for you today. Look how much I did for you today." Instead of saying, "Hashem, look how much you did for me." You know what the Chavetz Chaim said when he finished writing the Mishnah Berurah? After putting so much time and effort and energy and thought and sleepless nights to write a work of halacha for Klal Yisrael, he said when he finished that, "Hashem, you were so nice, you gave me a Mishnah Berurah. What can I do for you?" He spent his whole life trying to teach Jews. He wrote these simple little books when he could have been writing much deeper things, because he just wanted to be mechazik a couple of Jews who would be sitting in Washington Heights 100 years later. Right? And yet his attitude was, "Hashem, wow, you gave me the opportunity to write Svarim. What can I do for you?" Like, that's a person who's makir makomo. You don't owe me, Hashem. I owe you everything. To be self-aware and not to blame others. I'll just end with a maisa. A Mendel Fortifas. Mendel Fortifas, one of the great names in the world of Chabad. Right? A person who fought the KGB tooth and nail, mamish, fought. And he was thrown into jail so many times. So I read a great story about that. Rav Mendel was thrown into jail. He was thrown with some real thugs. And these thugs had all sorts of contraband in jail. You know, if these guys, they needed cigarettes, these guys had cigarettes, they needed playing cards, these guys had playing cards. And everything was, you know, it was all illegal, it was all contraband. He says, the chevra, to pass the time, they used to play poker. It was totally illegal in this jail. It was a major crime. So the guard one time was coming by. They had a whole system. The chevra would sit there, they had these big games going. The second the guard would come by, right, they had holes, you know, give him a signal, pull the ears, snap the fingers. In a second, he said, these guys, in 2 seconds, everything was gone. The chevra was just sitting there lying on the beds, looking bored. And the guard comes by and says, "What are you guys up to?" So the guys are smiling. "No, not that, man." "Meh." I'm telling you, he says, "You guys have cards, right? You guys got yourselves a deck of cards. You know, you're going to be sitting in solitary confinement. We don't have cards. What are you talking about? Come search our cell. We don't have cards." So the guard comes in, he pokes around. "Okay, fine." Comes back a little while later, right? The guard walks away. 2 seconds later, they set up shop. They're gambling, they're playing, they're having a good time. Right? All of a sudden, the guard's coming. Signal. Cards are gone. "What's going on in there, chevra?" "Nothing. We're just, you know, did terrible crimes. We're passing the time. Nothing to do." Right? Okay. And Mendel's like, he's just looking at this chevra. He's like so impressed by the whole system. The guard says, "If I come back again, you guys have those stupid smiles on your face. I'm strip searching all of you. I'm turning this place inside out. There's nothing going on here." And the guard walks away. Chevra's back to playing their games. And the guard comes running over. He senses something. Zafi runs over. In 2 seconds, everything's gone. And he comes in, and the guard, furious, he's flipping over the mattresses, and he's ripping apart the pillows. Right? And he has them strip out of their clothing. He's searching every pocket, everything. Right? Our Mendel's watching. He says, "The guard's going to find... The cards are somewhere here." He said, "I saw the cards with my own eyes. Chevra's got the poker chips. They got the whole..." And he doesn't find anything. The guard says, "Okay, you know, I guess you guys are innocent." He said, "I'm keeping an eye on you, but I'll leave you alone." And they leave. The guard leaves. And Mendel says to the chevra, he says, "How'd you guys do that?" He said, "Where are the cards?" And the guys are sitting there, they're cracking up, they're laughing. He says, "No, seriously, where'd you guys put the cards?" So he says, when the guard came in, right, he says, they had you know, thieves there, they had pickpockets there. He said, when the guard came in, we stuck the cards in his back pocket. Because the guard's so busy looking, checking everything, he didn't realize the cards were in his own pocket. And Mendel's like, "Psh, what a muscle. He said, how many times in life, when we're looking to try to identify what we have to do to do tshuva, right? Or what we need to do to change something in life, we're trying to look here, we're looking there. The Mishnah says, by tzaras, a person sees tzaras, a kohen glad to see tzaras, all tzaras except for his own tzaras. Tamid Baal Shem Tov, same Bederach Drush. You can see the tzaras, I can see everyone else's problems, and this one did this, and this one did that. I can figure out all your yetzaras. When it comes to finding your own yetzar, you don't realize the card's in your own back pocket. So Birtz Hashem, we should take the words, the beautiful sweet words of the Chavetz Chaim to heart, and we should be zochet to an elul filled with tremendous tshuva, and we should wake ourselves up, and when we hear that cry on Yom Kippur, Malach HaNirdam, right? Now what are you doing still sleeping? We'll say to Rabbi Shalom, we're not sleeping anymore. We got the message, and the Birtz Hashem will no longer have to face any of the din that unfortunately Klai Yisrael faced for a long time.